Hi and welcome to another podcast from The Human Diver, where we are looking to apply counter-errorism techniques in diving. By that we mean human factors and non-technical skills. Our goal is to give you the knowledge and skills so that your dives are safer and more enjoyable. The podcast consists of audio blogs which have been published on our website. Show notes will be provided so you can dig deeper if you want. Ready to jump in? Research conducted in 1989 by Deborah J. Mitchell of the Wharton School, Jay Russo of Cornell, and Nancy Pennington of the University of Colorado found that prospective hindsight, imagining that an event has already occurred, increases the ability to correctly identify reasons for future outcomes by 30%. Harvard Business Review. Successful people are normally optimistic. They can think about how to get past the barrier or the problems, even if they don't actually achieve it when it comes to the actions themselves. Optimism is good. But optimism, especially groupthink optimism, can lead to some spectacular disasters. One of the problems encountered on the journey to reach the team's goals is when the leader is optimistic and he creates a team who are all optimistic and aligned with his or her goals. Who is going to have the moral courage to stick their hand up and express the counter position, especially as the time ticks away and they get closer to the execution time and more time and resource has been sunk into the project, sunk cost fallacy or loss aversion. Authority, or cross-cockpit gradient, as it is known in aviation terms, also makes it much harder to speak up. There are a number of biases at play which negatively impact sound decision making. Some of them are very powerful. However, there are ways to break down these biases and end up with more rational and logical decisions. And one of them is use that group. Think to your advantage, but it requires the scene to be set in a specific way. It needs to be framed in future, with the disaster having already happened or the barriers expected have been overcome, not in the now looking forward, because that is too easy to say that it wouldn't happen, especially if such events are rare or there is limited data to support that position. This technique is known as pre-mortem or prospective hindsight. Researcher Gary Klein developed this concept by modifying the post-mortem process, which looks at why a person died by examining everything, but applying it before the project kicks off or before a formal decision has to be made. The short video clip, linked in the show notes, in which Nobel Prize winner Daniel Kahneman describes the pre-mortem to eliminate thinking biases, gives more detail. So what has it got to do with developing human and team performance in the context of diving? What about when you plan to go diving for the weekend with a buddy or two? Ask the question. Assuming that you are now a week after the dive and there had been a major issue on the dive and your best friend, an experienced instructor, ended up dead or seriously injured. Why did it happen? What could you have done, in hindsight with knowledge of the outcome, to make things safer and more enjoyable? Did you have a clear plan about who was going to do what when? Were there assumptions made about gas mixes or contents, decompression strategies, recency of diving, potential equipment issues, gas consumption rates so that bottom times can be determined, or any one of a number of factors which can impact the safety of the dive. This doesn't mean you have to be the person who walks around with the sandwich board of doom or gloom on their shoulders, but it does mean that we need to communicate our concerns in a frame by which they can be resolved before they happen. By being proactive in terms of identifying, communicating, and actively controlling the risks, we are able to get closer to the unacceptable line with less fear of dropping over the edge. If you're involved in a larger diving project, such as an expedition, then consider using something like the following exercise, which Gary Klein outlines in his book, The Power of Intuition: How to Use Your Gut Feelings to Make Better Decisions at Work. Plan for this exercise to take about an hour. This process requires a strong facilitator. Step 1. Preparation. Convene the project team and assure that participants are comfortable and have several sheets of paper. Step 2. Imagine a fiasco. The facilitator starts by claiming to look into a crystal ball to see the outcome of the proposed plan and then says, "Oh no! Oh, it's a failure! Not just any failure, but a complete, total, embarrassing disaster. It is so bad! No one is talking to each other! Things have gone as wrong as they can go!" But this cheap crystal ball keeps buffering and won't reveal the reasons for the failure. The question of the hour is, what could have caused this? Step 3. Generate reasons for failure. Ask each person write down all the reasons they think the failure occurred, giving them just 3 minutes of quiet time to generate a full list. Klein explains that this is where the differing intuitions of the team members come out. each has a unique set of experiences, scars, and mental models they bring. The collective knowledge in the room is far greater than that of any one person. Klein has found that this activity helps the group share experiences and calibrates their understanding of the difficulties. Step 4, consolidate the lists. Each person shares one item on their list. A facilitator records them on a whiteboard or flip chart paper. After each person has shared one item, continue to go around the room, sharing one item each time until everyone has exhausted their lists. By the end of this step, the list should include everyone's concerns. Klein explains that this process liberates people who might otherwise be afraid of looking like they're not a team player. Now everybody is being asked to think about failure, so instead of looking like a bad teammate, you're pulling in the same direction as everyone else. Step 5. Revisit the plan. Address the 2 or 3 items of greatest concern, and then schedule another meeting to generate ideas for avoiding or minimizing the other problems. If the project has a charter, these prioritized areas of concern can be listed in the Assumptions, Constraints, and Risks section, along with the plan strategies to mitigate the risks. Step 6, periodically review the list. Take the list out every 3 to 4 months to resensitize your team to problems that may be emerging. Another way to consider this pre-mortem is to use the same sense of failure, but look at how the team has overcome the barriers or failure points, framing in a positive context, but still using prospective hindsight. Thanks for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to know more about what was discussed in this episode, head over to the Human Diver website at thehumandiver.com, where you will find details about our education programs, the If Only documentary, the book Under Pressure, and the many, many blogs we have published there. If you think others should listen and learn, consider sharing the link. Thank you.